Good morning, everybody. I'm glad to see so many faces in the room. We weren't really expecting that, but I think we'll go ahead and get started. We did have a slight change in the schedule due to some of the weather in other parts of the U.S. Hunter Frame is going to go first, and then we'll get back on schedule. So I'll turn it over to Hunter.
Thanks, Katie. So Katie and Galen switched with me the first program. I'm going to talk a little bit about potassium and get in my second presentations on nitrogen sulfur fertility. We're supposed to get 13 inches of snow in Virginia today, so I'm trying to beat the weather back to the East Coast. But my first presentation is going to be on cotton response to polyhalite as potential potassium sulfur sources. Does anybody, I guess just show a hand if y'all have heard of polyhalite as a mineral or potential fertilizer? Okay. So polyhalite is a potassium, magnesium, calcium sulfate mineral. I'm working with a company called Sirius Minerals. They contacted me to do some research. They're mining this in the UK. The red outline on this map is where the actual mining is. It's a little touch and go. They just got approval to mine from the UK because it's the deposit's under a national park. So they can't disturb anything above ground. So they have an underground 35-mile conveyor to transport the material out of the mine. But we're looking at this as a potential alternative to something like K-Mag for our growers. Our guys like K-Mag as a source of sulfur and a little extra magnesium. So that's why we're interested in this in terms of a potential potassium source blended with MOP moving forward. So as I mentioned, in our coastal plain soils, we're running usually a loamy sand or a sandy loam soil type. And so potassium and sulfates can leach out of our ground fairly quickly, fairly easily. We have low CEC, low organic matter, low water holding capacities. So we're looking for methods to get sulfur into our cotton systems as well as another source of potassium. So as mentioned, polyhalite is a conglomerate or an aggregate material. It's a 001419S6% magnesium oxide is what the company reports that as, and 17% calcium oxide. So that's the analysis of it. And like I said, this is going to be a competitor for K-Mag, which is a 002222S11 magnesium. And it's going to provide a source of sulfur, especially early season in our cotton in Virginia and or throughout the cotton belt. So we want to look at a couple different things. One is the availability of the potassium and other nutrients. Calcium sulfate, magnesium sulfate have a little bit lower solubility than potassium sulfate. So how is these nutrients going to be readily available to the cotton plant? And we wanted to look at uptake at two different growth stages, match head square, and then again at cutout. And then we looked at, of course, lint yield and the yield components during the study. So it was randomized complete block design with four replications. 17 total treatments. We had an untreated control with zero K2O per hectare or acre. We had 4K sources, MOP, polyhalite, a 50-50 blend of MOP and polyhalite, and then MOP plus, which was a bulk blend using gypsum, granular gypsum, and then kieserite to substitute our magnesium and our calcium. 4K rates, 30, 60, 90 and 120 pounds per acre, and that's a kilograms per hectare. And we had 2015, we had a high yield environment, and we'll get into this a little bit later. In 2016, we had a really low yield environment with a low soil test K. And then proglimic single factor treatment analysis, and we'll get into a little bit of that for one part of the study. And then we split the data set into two components, and then we did a 4x4 factorial treatment design with K rates and source. So here's our total treatment list with the different nutrient levels for sulfur, polyhalite, and these are kilograms per hectare. I apologize for the units. I wanted to present this data set here, and I presented it at ASA earlier this year. So these just show each of the four sources had four rates, and then we had the one control. So this is the 2015 and 2016 results. And when you get into our poor soils with low soil test K, Our growers will tell you the dirt's just good enough to hold the world together. And that's what they say. Now, the study looked a little bit better than that, but from July 31st to September 1st, we had 0 inches of rain at our 2016 site. And coupled with potassium problems starting to develop, we almost had complete defoliation of the site at the low K rates. 2015, as you can see, we can see some color differences across the field, but we still had really high yielding cotton at that location. And 2016, that soil, we say we're about a week away from a drought. So if we don't get a substantial rainfall, you're going to start seeing drought effects on cotton. So water really limited our K response as well as just to overall responsiveness of the site. Here's the Malic 1 extractable nutrients. So we use Malic 1, not Malic 3. So you need to add a little bit for Malic 3 to these numbers. But we see in 2015, the K was a medium threshold for Virginia, 73 parts per million. In 2016, we had a really low potassium, soil test potassium, and that was 18 parts per million. So it should have been a really responsive site. 2015, when we came in at both sample intervals and we looked at just total biomass produced, we saw no differences, whether it was at Matchhead Square, which is that first left-hand column, but we had very high biomass. Total biomass production, kilograms per hectare, we were up around 6,000 to 7,000 in total biomass, which was really high. Seed cotton, this was taken at cutout. Seed cotton was already in the 900 to 1,000 pound range, or kilograms per hectare range, at that time frame in the growing season. This looks drastically different when we look at 2016 biomass production. You can see Matchhead Square, we're in that 500, 600 kilogram range. We didn't see any differences other than the bracts. We actually saw a significant response to the treatments. And it was actually when we added a little bit of potash and didn't have sulfur, that was our lowest brac biomass, 198 kilograms per hectare. You see the seed cotton it cut out was very low. And again, our total biomass numbers are in that 800 to, I think, 2,200 kilograms per hectare range. So definitely a lot less growth on this soil type. This is our uptake in 2015. So high yielding site, high biomass. And these numbers compare very favorably. No differences among all 17 treatments. But we see we range between 120 and 140. Sometimes we approach that 160 kilograms of K2O per hectare that we took up at cutout. We still have about another month and a half until we pick this cotton from this time frame. But again, we're in what the literature has said is our K uptake, historical K uptake for cotton. And this is at cutout. So the cotton's still going to put on some more lint beyond this period. And the major sink at this stage is the leaves in the cotton. So what do we look at? When I started crunching the soil data, we took soil samples from each plot at 6 inches for this study. When I started looking at crunching the numbers on this and looking at the change in soil test K, for each fertilizer mix, what we saw was we had fertilizer rate across the x-axis and then change in K. We saw at the 0-30 pound rate that we were losing potassium in our soil test from planting to harvest for all treatments. But however, the only treatments that we saw actually increase soil test potassium were at that 100 and the, or 90 and 120 pound rates, those two highest rates. All other fertilizers, even when we put it out the same K rate, we decrease soil test K from harvest, from planting to harvest. And what we speculate is happening here is when you look at how cations compete for exchange sites in soils, there's a hierarchy. So calcium and magnesium are going to compete for exchange sites greater than potassium. It has to do with their electron cloud and the atomic structure of that ion and being able to fit into those exchange sites on the clay particles. And what we're seeing is that competition with the magnesium and calcium in these blends and in polyhalite for those exchange sites. That's not necessarily a good thing in our soils given we can leach potassium. So if that calcium magnesium is out competing potassium on the exchange sites, we have the potential to lose it through leaching that winter, so or later in the growing season. So that could be an issue with this material moving forward. Looking at potassium uptake in 2016, as you see, the maximum uptake we had was over a little over 35 kilograms per hectare of potassium uptake at cutout. Well off, we're 100 pounds less than what we saw in 2015 at the high yielding location. And this was mostly due to water stress during the growing season. And here's two pictures. So these are our check plots. The top picture was taken, hard to believe it, right prior to defoliation. The bottom picture was taken about a month and a half earlier. This is two check plots. You can see that it's still severely stunted compared to the cotton around it. But you can see how the moisture stress during 2016 really affected even the good plots that were on either side in that bottom picture. In terms of uptake, we saw no significant difference in K at match A square cutout, K source. Total K uptake was maximized at 34 kilograms K2O per hectare. And when you go back and look at that, the maximum uptake, that makes sense because even in the high yielding plots at this location, we only took up about 35 kilograms. So it makes sense that we maximize at that level. No differences in magnesium or calcium uptake. This site had a peanuts on it the year before. And so we applied gypsum to peanuts. So that got extra calcium. We applied dolomitic limestone on our soils. So that gives our source of magnesium as well. And then weather conditions influence source and responses. This is just an interesting thing about sulfur. Sulfur is a big part of our program, our fertility program on our soils. At Matchett Square in 2015, we took up almost 10 pounds of sulfur from planting to Matchett Square. So in about a 6 to 7 week period, we were taking up about 10 pounds. If you go move that to cutout, our maximum uptake, even at those higher rates, we were probably luxury consuming some, but we were 25 to 30 pounds of sulfur in cotton. And that's one thing we want to get a hold of. When we have this 2,000 pound lint yields, 1,500, 2,000, how much sulfur do we need out there in order to maximize that yield? And how much is the plant taking up? We see it takes up quite a bit, even more than what our recommendations are. So this is 2016. Just note the lower uptakes for sulfur, even though we did still saw a rate response, even with the poor weather conditions. This is... In 2016, we did see significant differences in yield, so we're looking at source here. MOP across all K rates, we had the lowest yields with the MOP plus, the bulk blend. Even though we put sulfur out with the MOP plus, there looked like to be a synergistic effect when we had polyhalite and all those nutrients in one granule. As the polyhalite alone, the sulfur uptake was the highest, and then the sulfur uptake for the blended material was the next highest. So here's lint yield, and as you can see, no differences in the 2015 at the high yielding site with a medium soil test K. Yields range from about 1,300 kilograms to about 1,700 kilograms. But in 2016, where we had the low soil test K, what we saw was very low yields due to the weather conditions, but we did see a significant response, and that was a K rate response. And here are those responses when we break out the main effects. You see maximized yields at 60 pounds or 67 kilograms. And then again, that MOP blend, poly blend, actually performed the best, followed by the polyhalite straight mix. And then the two MOP and MOP plus were the lowest. And that's due to sulfur. There was no sulfur applied on those plots. That's a sulfur response, not a potassium response there. So that's why we need sulfur on these soils. And then I've kind of covered all of this. Overall, in 2016, we had a responsive site. If we'd got more rainfall, we would seen more yield increase and a bigger difference in yields. However, rainfall limited the total productivity of that site. But it looks like the 50-50 MOP blend and poly is going to be our best ticket, and it's probably going to be the cheapest ticket moving forward if we use these materials. So with that, I think we got about a minute for questions. It's a grainy material. It looks good. I mean,
Looks like
no, it's a grayish, whitish material. I think they actually crush it and then re-granulate it. The granule size is a little bit bigger than what you would see in like urea ammonium sulfate, but it dissolves. It actually puffs up like similar to like popcorn once it absorbs water and then it disperses on the soil.
It's easy to spread.
Oh yeah, yeah. Spreadability is going to be fine. Yeah. How do we do our sampling? So at Match Head Square, it was whole plant, and we took five foot of row. So we took an arrow, and it's 36-inch rows. And we did that from the first row of the plots. We had four row plots. We harvested two center for yield. We did that for the first row of the plots. And for the cutout, we did it on the fourth row of the plots. So we had plants growing on either side to not affect any spatial issues. And at the cutout time, we cut the plants and we separated all the leaves and the stems and the bracts and seed cotton, and we dried them at 65 degrees C.
All right. We'll go ahead and move on to our next